this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some? I'm fighting for my soul, God, get at your boy, you try to vote, God, fall back, I go hard, on this lonely road, trying to make it home, doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, who wants some?
Welcome to the Justified Podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Justified on FX. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And this week we're talking about the season finale, season 3, episode 13, Slaughterhouse.
Whoa!
This is it, man.
This is the last episode.
We did it.
My death march is over.
Yeah, you're down to only two podcasts a week now. Congratulations.
Mm. Well deserved. Well deserved.
Do we want to go right into what we thought about this episode?
Sure, why not?
Okay, what'd you think?
I thought it was... It didn't have any individual moment that was as good as Mag's death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Overall, I think this episode was stronger than the season finale of last season.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take the finale as a last four episode arc,
okay,
because that's kind of what they traditionally do. You get the over the hill, yeah. And then I think season three was much stronger. That season two wasn't amazing. So I'm going to give. I'm going to give season three overall a notch above season two.
Wow. All right. See, I didn't... don't get me wrong. This was an awesome episode.
Uh-huh.
But like you said, I don't think it hit the high that it did with Mags Bennett there at the very end, killing herself.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler for season two if you haven't seen it. And while I did feel that the episode overall was really, really good, it wasn't enough to outweigh that one moment with Mags. So I still give it to season two.
You think season two is better overall?
That's rough because they did the build up in this one really well with the plot.
And there was hardly any missteps.
And like you said, the final plot arc kind of has to be taken as a four episode thing because they resolved the real plot of this season pretty long ago. I mean, it was a couple episodes ago, right?
When
basically all of the cards are on the table. And now it's just
it feels like it's been, I think it was three episodes ago where Quarles had his kind of like last legitimate shot. Mm-hmm. He, you know, took his best shot again at Boyd and all that kind of stuff, and it crumbled. So
I didn't feel like they were resolving so much plot here, but more characters. Like we decided we want to get rid of Quarles, so he needs to go. We need to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, it felt like the last two episodes have turned into a manhunt.
Yeah, definitely did this episode. It was a literal one.
Like halfway through the season, we're like, shit, how's Raylan going to get out of here? How is Boyd going to... Well, we knew. There's... Carpetbagger's on the ropes. Quarles is on the ropes. We kind of knew how things were going to wind down. It just hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, the only thing we really got, I'd say, plot-wise here, I guess, is that Limehouse knew that Errol was a traitor and wasn't actually... throwing that idea out there.
Right.
I think Errol legitimately thought that the money was in the bank and he was trying to screw Limehouse.
I don't agree. I don't believe that.
Then why does Limehouse tell him to get off the holler?
Because of the war he started. Errol did cross him. Oh, that was a betrayal.
A slight betrayal compared to the actual betrayal.
Well, no, I think that was all done under Limehouse's imprimatur.
All right.
So there was a little controversy leading into this because several cable providers gave a plot description, which was after the death of a friend, Raylan goes on a frenzied manhunt or whatever. And a lot of people took that to be, you know, because there's a little ambiguous. We got it wrong. I guess Boyd was in the final scene laying there. But a lot of people took that and the fact that, you know, widely speculated that several people want to die to mean that... first of all, that it's kind of spoiled that the sheriff or the trooper, Tom, died.
Yeah.
But also, I think a lot of people took it to be like, oh, shit, is Boyd or...
Well, that's the thing. If you have to
Art
question...
or somebody like that.
If you're questioning who died,
it
didn't spoil that Tom died.
Yeah.
You can't claim both sides there. Sorry. You know, it's like, oh, well, we knew Tom died, but then why were you asking who else died?
Well, I'm just saying, some people were a little upset. I know Mike and Adam had posted stuff, and I don't think Adam was... I don't think either one of them are upset. They're just like, oh, shit, what could that possibly mean?
So yeah.
I try to avoid, you know, any of that stuff if I'm trying to really stay pure.
Yeah. And I'm glad we don't have spoilers this time around.
No.
For season four.
Right.
All right, let's get into the recap. Right off the bat, we find out that Tom died while Raylan's examining the crime scene there. And the manhunt is on. They go, as they typically do when a cop dies, they go full force to find this guy. And right now, who are they thinking shot him? Quarles.
Yep.
Because that's what Johnny tells him.
Yep.
Then Raylan goes inside to interrogate Boyd and Johnny, and they suggest that he goes to see Win Duffy. Because he might know where Quarles is, I guess.
Sure.
I guess not a lot to say about those scenes. It's pretty much just... I mean, there is some stuff that the Raylan says to Boyd and vice versa, but I feel like it pretty much plays out throughout this episode, so we'll keep going. Arlo's acting crazy and admits to Boyd that he's not been taking his medication, and Boyd makes him take it right there on the spot in front of him. What's your opinion of Arlo here? Is he getting worse and maybe he's on his meds, but it's not helping? Because it has seemed to me like Ava was kind of on his back about that.
Well, if you're taking medication involving brain chemistry and mood, it's not like you take it and you're not crazy, and you stop taking it and you instantly turn crazy. There's lag times.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes a while to build up in your system. So while you need to start taking your pills, just taking the one set probably wasn't enough to completely get the ship righted.
Yeah, yeah. There was one point in the season where I was thinking, man, where is Arlo? Arlo's not around. I don't know what he was doing, and I guess he was off being crazy.
Right.
But at some point...
it was good that they... Because there was so much that hinged on Arlo in the last episode, and I'm glad they laid that groundwork because it really let them play with our expectations in a believable manner. And
it made the reveal at the end worthwhile.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I certainly didn't see that coming.
Right. And when, it also gave believable cover to Johnny.
Yeah, definitely. Right. To have him pass the buck on to Arlo about who told Limehouse.
Right.
That made perfect
sense.
And
I was thinking, he did go up there in Noble Hall that one night. Maybe that he would have said something stupid.
That's
not
what I was thinking.
Maybe even who he's talking to.
Yeah, maybe they kept him there a while and took him off of his medication.
Sure.
I mean, it would have made sense, so that was a really cool twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Raylan goes over to show Duffy how to play a Harlan roulette. This scene, so good.
It was.
So good. I haven't
seen...
And
it called back to one of our favorite Mobster of the Week episodes of all time, too.
Which one was that?
The Fogel one.
Oh, the one where they invented Harlan roulette.
Yep.
Or told us about it. We haven't really seen Duffy do a whole lot as far as acting, as far as... I don't know, just interesting scenes with him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Especially between him and Raylan, just that one with the bullet that he drops on him.
Right.
So it was really good to see him show some chops here.
Well, and his shtick is that he doesn't get demonstrative, and he doesn't put on these big emotional displays. So to get those genuine Jesus Christ out of him was really awesome. And it was probably a lot of fun on the set, too.
Oh, I bet. I bet. I was actually trying to look to see if Raylan emptied the chambers before he fired those off, emptied the cylinder.
So I read, I think, interview Yost, the Yost with the Most, did a lot of interviews this week. He did the postmortem with Entertainment Weekly, and he also did the overall season postmortem with Seppenwall. And one asked him is deliberately, it's like, did Raylan take an anti-hero step here? Mm-hmm. Word of God is that he palmed the bullet.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
But on the other hand, that was not shown. That's not in the show. So if Yost says he did it, I guess we believe him. But there's nothing in the show that says that he didn't do exactly what he looked like he did, which is load a bullet in there. And
yeah, I think his character shows it. In the past, he would not just go kill someone in cold blood. You know?
On the other hand, I mean, he does. I feel like... If he was still playing the good guy here, if he's still Han Soloing it, I kind of think it's foreshadowing. I don't know, man. I'm starting to I go back and forth about whether Yost is going to take Raylan there.
Yeah.
Make him go extra legal, anti-hero.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is, Preseason trailer guy, fuck you for showing Boyd and Raylan teaming up and not delivering on that badass imagery.
Deleted scene, must be.
Ah, bullshit. It just didn't. It's just a cock tease.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to go there with him.
It's like a funhouse mirror. They were standing on opposite sides of the room looking at the mirror and they're back to back.
I feel like they're building Raylan up to be, yes, he has flawed, but he's pretty much a moral paragon.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a hell of a lawman.
Yeah, he's never going to, even when he's sorely tempted, like, he's like, well, this is how you guys do it, isn't it?
Yeah, good point.
Maybe we'll just use your rules.
Mm-hmm.
And what's hilarious about that is a guy like Wynn, you know, that's something he would do.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems totally believable that this marshal's just going to go rogue and start, you know, plugging him for no good reason, because that's what he'd do in his position.
Sure, sure. And despite him, okay, let's say he doesn't. Let's say Graham Yost is God and he palmed that bullet.
Mm-hmm.
They still took him up to a pretty dark place at the end of this.
Yeah,
I mean, with his relationship with his father is not good.
That's not something. They took him to a dark place, but he did not take himself there.
Definitely.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I mean, they're slowly torturing this poor guy.
They are. So I'm interested to see what they do.
Arguably worse than last season when he was strung up, beat with a baseball bat, and then shot through.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the emotional damage he sustained with his woman leaving him.
Yeah, after they have a kid together or going to.
And then his father, you know, not just being estranged, but choosing your kind of mortal enemy.
Yeah.
To be your surrogate son and killing you in the stead. It's just, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And when they bring him into that room when he comes into the room during the interrogation of Boyd and Johnny, and he says, oh, I just saw a cop. They told me a cop in a hat got killed.
Yeah.
That line is just so much more poignant now that mm-hmm. we know what we know at the end of this episode.
Right. Especially since he tried to make, I feel like he did try to make an apology to Raylan.
Yeah.
Which also mm-hmm. made a lot more sense when you saw the end of the show.
Yeah.
Like, he's self-aware enough to realize he did wrong by him.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the chips are down, you got to choose Boyd or the cop with the hat that could be your son. You're going to choose Boyd.
Yeah, he will. All right, let's move along. When Limehouse returns to his restaurant, Raylan's waiting to, I guess, get what Limehouse promised him.
Mm-hmm.
Limehouse says he can't deliver Quarles, but he might be able to deliver Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
I always love the interactions between Raylan and Limehouse because mm-hmm. Limehouse with everybody else has the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
Limehouse with Raylan does not have the upper hand.
And that changed pretty much since last episode.
Yeah, where he called him the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Raylan's got him pegged. Now, interestingly enough, it seems like, am I really going to quote the Chronicles of Narnia?
Hell yes, you are.
Just as Aslan is not a tame lion,
what does that mean?
Limehouse is not a tame backwoods barbecuing hillbilly. He's not. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I don't think he's totally defanged. I mean, there's some speculation last week about, like, oh, I bet Errol's hand, you know, he just got scarred as a baby or something. And
yeah.
Limehouse uses that to tell. It's like, no, Limehouse is still a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
He has many guns, and he will kill you to protect his own.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But that is why he's going to kill you, because you've been violating Noble Holler, not just because, you know, for money or power or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. And he comes after Raylan with the cleaver this episode. So it just so happens that Raylan's a faster draw than he is a slicer with his cleaver.
Yeah, but everybody had guns. Like, the AK-47 just popped out like termites at that bar.
Uh-huh.
Is that the scene we're on right now?
But what I'm saying is he was prepared to murder Raylan.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Chips are down. He's going
to
do it.
Yeah. And Raylan, to be fair, is prepared to murder
him. Oh, definitely. Yeah, both sides.
So, was that the scene we're talking about?
No.
Okay,
no.
That's later on? Okay.
Yeah. It's when Quarles comes in with Raylan as a hostage.
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep moving. There's a manhunt montage that turns into the kidnapping of Quarles.
But wait, that wasn't the one where he balances Quarles. The salt shaker?
That might have been the one, yeah.
I thought so. And at the end, he came out of a cleaver, and then Raylan drew his gun, and then drew a second gun, and then everyone drew guns on him.
Yeah, I guess he did come out of him with a cleaver twice then, because he actually tried to again in that final scene.
What did you think? Oh, I thought he was going to disarm Quarles, is how I took that.
No, the before Quarles pulled his second gun or whatever.
All right. I really liked it, and I guess our, in the post-mortem, they said that that's something that Tim and the director came up with the day of the set, that Raylan would be balancing that salt shaker.
Uh-huh.
And they originally had it like fall over as soon as everyone drew the guns.
Uh-huh.
And then they decided into editing, and I guess the director didn't know about it, and Yost didn't either. They just got to see the first cut, and the editor thought it was cooler to just put it in some random beat in the fight.
Yeah.
Like he tried, I think he put it where the tension broke in the standoff.
I was going to say, it felt like, yeah, when the salt shaker dropped, that's when everybody knew what was up.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's way... That just shows you what a good editor can do for you.
Yeah. And it shows you the collaborative effort here.
Yeah.
Like, we may praise Yost, we may praise Oliphant, whatever, but in the end, it's everybody working together.
Yep.
And that's the thing that blows my mind about TV shows and movies.
That's the other thing we got from talking to Taylor, is just how everybody sweats the details in this show.
They all throw in ideas. They
in
mix
a way
it up.
That I feel like doesn't happen. You know, it's my favorite whipping. I've insulted this in all three of my casts this week. In a way that doesn't happen on The Walking Dead.
If
like that's the kind of stuff, the extra mile that I don't know why, but it seems like maybe people in Walking Dead just aren't as critical, or they're just like fuck it, or maybe they have too much time constraints because it's a harder story to tell, but.
Maybe. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
All right, let's move on.
Yes.
Shelby calls up Boyd to let him know that the feds are coming after him. Kind of does him a favor there because got him back on track after the mine incident, which...
Answers a big question we had with Shelby.
Whether he was loyal to Boyd?
He is, but basically, hey, we're square.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have done a bunch of pettier things, but this is the one thing where it's like, okay, you know, we're done.
Yeah.
So going forward, do you think we'll see more Shelby?
He's the sheriff of Harlan, I would say.
Well, not necessarily. I mean,
true. There's a vote coming up in a few months. So,
And without Boyd help, you would assume Boyd's not going to help him.
I don't know. I don't feel like they're enemies. Certainly at this point.
No, they're not enemies. But why would Boyd help him? Because he's not going to do him any.
To get him back
extra
in his
legal
debt,
favors,
possibly.
Maybe.
I mean, now that he's paid his debt, he wants to get back in debt.
Right. On the other hand, violent crime might plummet in Harlan that Arlo's off the streets and Quarles is off the streets and Duffy hightails it back to Lexington.
Yep. You got no devil.
Yeah.
You got Dickie's roaming around somewhere.
No. Dickie's back in jail.
Dickie's back in jail?
Yeah, Raylan shot him last week. He's either dead or in jail, and according to Yost, he's in jail.
Okay. All right, so he's not dead.
Yeah.
So the relationship between Shelby and Boyd has always been weird to me, because Boyd didn't really do him any favors. He kind of caused all the trouble
Been for Boyd, Shelby would have died.
But if it hadn't been for Boyd, I don't think that plan would have gone down how it did either. So
debatable, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Shelby realizes how much Boyd had to do with that.
Right.
Still.
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed.
Cool. Let's keep going. Quarles makes polite banter with his kidnappers or his kidnapping victims, and then calls up Theo and he wants to come home, and Theo says it'll cost him $500,000.
Great scene. This whole concept of Quarles kidnapping this family, weakest part of the whole episode.
Really?
Honestly, I did not enjoy it, and I thought... I just felt like they didn't think that through very hard.
I'll give you that it didn't really lead anywhere particularly.
Not only but we didn't give a shit about those
Raylan.
People.
That's true, yeah.
Again, maybe I'm suffering from fan delusion syndrome, but how much more powerful would it have been for him to have gotten Winona? And I understand she's up in Lexington, but Ava was in play. Or, hell, even that...
Even Arlo.
Yeah. Yeah, Arlo, I don't know that Raylan would give a shit, honestly.
Really? No yeah. shits?
But they could have gotten one of the... Maybe he got the drop on one of the marshals, like Rachel. Mm-hmm. That's kind of implausible.
Yeah, they're out in Lexington.
Even one of the... Who's the whore that we kind of got close to? Emmy?
Ellie Mae?
Ellie Mae.
Yeah.
Even she... somebody we know yeah. put in jeopardy that Raylan might have a soft spot for... I'm just saying that I felt like him just stumbling upon some especially super Christian
yeah.
hikers. I don't know. I didn't like
He's
it.
He's all about that.
Yeah, I guess.
What did you think of his performance? Because I heard a lot of people saying that it was one of his weaker performances.
I thought he did a very good job of portraying a guy who's losing his mind completely...
Yeah,
who's not coming down? Off. What do you call?
No, he's basically got a massive hangover from withdrawals.
Right.
What you call it.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just like barely functioning at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because isn't that the thing?
And yet he's still so like proper, and even when he has a horrible headache, he's smiling.
And I think he's still on. He's still coming down the effects. Plus, he's got all that endorphins going through his body since he got hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got set on fire and exploded.
Yeah, he did.
So he's in a lot of pain. And I like that kind of like, do you have an ibuprofen?
Yeah, yeah. As if that's gonna help.
But
him.
He's still functioning at this high capacity. But he like has his giggle fit yeah. about the piggy bank.
Well, that was the cool thing about Quarles. I felt like that anybody else getting blown up and in withdrawal from Oxy would have crumpled. Would not have been able to
He's kind of like the Terminator.
Yeah. He felt like a really strong villain there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's probably why I liked it so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sorry to the people who didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, like I thought what he was trying to go, what he's trying to portray, he succeeded in. And yeah. I thought it very entertaining.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Next scene, Boyd breaks the news about Devil to the rest of the group and realizes that Arlo accidentally told Limehouse about it. So the news about Devil is that they're finding Devil's body. They're in the process of it.
Yep.
And there are basically cops down the driveway. Johnny kind of steers him wrong here. Says, hey, Arlo did it.
Mm-hmm.
So Boyd's on the wrong track.
And Arlo doesn't defend himself because he honestly doesn't. I don't think. Yeah. I think Arlo would believe it. Well, maybe I could, you know.
Yeah. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said anything about Helen.
Right.
There.
Right.
We'll talk about what your opinion of Johnny is in a little bit. Quarles stops the car, forces the mother out, and keeps going. Just a quick scene there. Good idea, though. You know, if you're a kidnapper, you want the most valuable of the kidnapping victims, I guess.
And the least experienced.
Kids. Yeah, yeah. Then Boyd gets busted, and Arlo apologizes for being a horrible father, and Art and Raylan run off to talk to the mother of the kidnapped victim.
Mm-hmm.
The kidnapped children, rather. So, I guess it's the next scene where Johnny's talking to Ava, and tells her that Ellie Mae might have talked to Arlo, or Limehouse, and so did Arlo.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going through Johnny's head here? Is he?
He's probably crapping his pants. Because
she's all like, let's go. First thing on the plate is revenge, you know, uh-huh. Like, let's go kill somebody.
Right.
And he agrees, but I don't think that's his first order of business. I think his first order of business is to get with Ava. With the looks that he's been giving her.
Yes.
This is part of his plan to get rid of Boyd so he can have Ava.
And go. Yeah. So he's the next Boyd in line for the throne, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean. He's going back to even season one,
mm-hmm.
I feel like Johnny has had the hots for her,
yeah,
and has coveted her, and I kind of think in some weird way that like Boyd even knows it, but he's family,
yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm not sure either. I do think that Johnny really wants Ava.
Well, he definitely wants. He definitely, I feel like he wants Boyd out of the way.
Yeah. And whether it's for the power.
Or... Yeah. And it's definitely, Ava's part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he still blames Boyd for the position he's in. I mean,
yeah.
In season one, he thought the whole crazy religious angle was to push his dad out of power so they could run things.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting Johnny almost cut in half and paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
So and that was something that they kind of glossed over to get back in cahoots.
Yeah.
I like to use the word cahoots anywhere I can to get back in cahoots.
It's a good episode to do it.
And, but always, like, I've been saying this all fucking season long. Mm-hmm. Anytime the camera goes on Johnny's face, he's got a lot of stuff going on. His eyes are shifting. He's doing the, you know, kind of like you can see him doing the angles and the percentages.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's still in Johnny's good or Boyd's good graces as of the end of this season. But that's got to be something that's going to be one of the subcontexts because the second
I would think so, yeah.
The second that math changes, mm-hmm. I think Johnny's going to betray him.
Yeah, and now that Boyd is out of prison scot-free, certainly we're going to deal with that in season four.
And it's important to note that him telling Limehouse, I don't think he intended to betray Boyd in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously Johnny's got some stuff going on the side, and he was trying to get an account opened with the Bank of Limehouse with some information and some tidbits.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he didn't tell that to Limehouse, so Limehouse would then flip Boyd. He was actually pissed that he used it.
Gotcha.
And it's like, why did you do that?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, just the fact that he's got that and he gave that information to Limehouse does show that, you know, eventually he's setting up Boyd for something.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing that happened here, kind of big thing, is Arlo apologizing for being a horrible father.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this do you think was Arlo genuinely feeling bad, especially now that we know about the shooting? And how much of it do you think was Helen telling him to?
Well, I think that is in the interview that I read on Yoast, mm-hmm. He said that that's Helen. She's like the devil and angel simultaneously.
Yeah.
The devil Helen's telling her, you got to go and kill Dickie and take care of business. But the angel's saying, but you got to, you know, you got to do right by Raylan.
Hmm.
And depending on which side is warring in his mind, that's, you know, what he ends up doing in the case. But
yeah, and this obviously says something. The fact that Helen would be telling him this is obviously a symptom of Arlo's guilt because Arlo is the one telling himself to tell Raylan this, you know? Helen's not actually there. Helen's not telling him what to do. He's telling himself what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he definitely did feel guilty about trying to shoot what he thought
could have been Raylan.
Could have been Raylan, yeah. So really, both a touching scene there, especially the way they played it.
Mm-hmm.
They played it very sincerely. Raylan was shocked by it. And then they moved it kind of into Arlo's insane territory, and Raylan starts realizing it.
Yeah.
But then at the end, they snap it back, and he says, thank you. He acknowledges the apology.
Yeah, I thought that Raylan played, that Timothy played that awesomely, that there was a little tinge of, you know, I've wanted to hear that my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then. But
I can't believe you're saying it.
And he's off, you know, he's been off his meds, and I've heard him talking about Aunt Helen and,
mm-hmm.
and all this. So it's like that definitely both of those was warring, and he did a really fine job of portraying that, I thought, with like 3 or 4 seconds of FaceTime.
Yeah. And I think Arlo, the guy who plays Arlo, I don't know his name, has done a fantastic job of playing a progressively crazier, you know?
Sure.
I think he's all the actors in this show are fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Am I wrong? No.
No.
Moving on. Johnny tells Ava that Dickie talked to Ellie Mae. No, I just did this scene. Raylan and Art find out that...
Too much shine.
...that Quarles is a kidnapper just before he calls.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a lot to go on there. It's just a phone call.
And they... I thought that
this
was
right before the commercial. Though.
I thought that was awfully convenient. The Art's like, yeah, everybody's like peeling out. We got to go to places. Raylan, you go back to get these files. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, what the hell is going on here? This is not like justified. Everybody's just going to peel out and leave Raylan here. And then Coral's called.
Work. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. You invented a reason. And sure enough, in one of the postmortems, he's like, yeah, you can almost hear the typewriters clicking in the background because the writer's like, we want Raylan to do this confrontation alone.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do? Oh, I know. Everybody will just like, you know, get an APB and peel out and they'll send him back to fetch the paperwork.
Yeah, that was a little lame, I got to say. I got to call out the writers for that.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this the other day. The great part about shows like Justified and some of the other ones we love is that they're not asking how can we get out of this or what would be coolest here. They're asking what would the character do.
Right.
And this, to me, didn't feel like, what would the character do?
I don't think it's what Art... Art's going to leave his best guy.
Yeah.
He's going to send his best guy back to fetch files.
Yeah. Probably not. Unless... No. The only way I could justify that is that... No pun intended. he felt that Raylan was too involved in this whole thing.
Maybe. But I also think
the way
Raylan...
they're going after Quarles, you would think they'd want everybody.
I thought Raylan took it like a lamb, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't complain at all.
No. Well, I mean, he kind of looked like flabbergasted, but not like, over my dead body you're going without me.
And we've seen him do that numerous times. Yeah.
I think that would deserve at least one kiss my ass.
Definitely. You know? So then Quarles...
That was ass kiss worthy.
After the commercial, Quarles meets up with Raylan and takes him hostage as well. A lot of hostages going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this was his ploy to buy Limehouse's money off of him,
right?
With Raylan.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that he assumed Limehouse would want Raylan? Has Limehouse been trying to kill Raylan?
No, I think that he was using the Marshal as a shield. Like, threatening Limehouse, I'll shoot you in the face, and then the resulting gunfire, you're going to kill a U.S. Marshal.
Okay.
And you're going to be dead. Best case scenario, you're dead, and Raylan survives, and he cleans her. But if he dies at the same time, that's going to just fuck Noble Hauler.
Yeah, they'll come
like Raylan's Armageddon scenario of we're going to have federal boots under. That's exactly what happened. You kill a marshal.
Yeah.
And one of your guys takes that rap. So I think he was using him as a shield. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've got him in front of me and, you know, you don't gotcha. Really. And he's also, having Raylan kind of speak for him.
It certainly helped him out.
Yes.
I got to say, Raylan was way cooler than he was.
Right.
In his withdrawals.
Yeah.
So then Limehouse tells Errol to leave Noble Hauler, and then he gets a call from Johnny where we find out that he's the one who told Limehouse about Devil's Body.
Yep.
A quick betrayal there that I did not see coming, honestly.
Really?
I was convinced by Johnny that it was Arlo.
Yes,
I was really convinced.
Yeah. As soon as I saw the scene begin, I'm like, shit. Yeah, I knew it. But I suspected Johnny a lot of... In fact... Until Arlo, but I from the previous scene, the way Johnny played that, like, well, shit, boy, you can't think it's me, you know, I thought, it was you.
Really?
And then Arlo, but I'm like, oh, I guess Arlo could have done it, and they laid just enough groundwork that there's enough doubt in my mind that it still came as a mild surprise.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hats off to the Yost with the most.
Moving on, Ava goes to see Ellie Mae and smacks her around a little bit. A hint of Delroy there in Ava.
Well, interesting. So, Yost said that this theme of this season was about crossing lines.
Hmm.
And you think that Ava started with a, I don't care what you do, but no whores policy.
Yep.
To running the whores, to now smacking around and abusing the whores.
Wow, what a change.
My question is, how low is she going to go next season? I mean,
that is a good question.
She was the kind of gangster with the heart of gold, and I think she's lost a little bit of that. Not, she was desperate and all that, and arguably, I don't want to say Ellie Mae had it coming, but she kind of when you choose Dickie in a Dickie Boyd fight, a Dickie Crowder fight, that's not a good gamble. So
yeah, and Ava's a little, I think, reckless here because she's desperately trying anything she can to get information about the whole plot and why Boyd's in prison and or arrested and trying to get him out of there. And she wants justice, you know? So then Quarles tries to extort money out of Limehouse, but he loses his arm and his life in the process. What I assume is his life, but apparently not, according to Yost. Before he dies, he tells Raylan that it was Arlo who killed Tom. So you're saying he doesn't die here?
No,
I assumed he died.
I'm going to read the response to that very question. I assume from the blood pool that Quarles is dead. Yeah. Yost said, Stephen Heth, our post-producer, really wrote that one right to the end. What's the pool of blood going to look like? How dark? How big of it? And he says, in conclusion, well, he may not be dead. Our feeling was that you could snap a tourniquet on that and probably stop him from bleeding out. But certainly, as a presence on the show, he's gone. Although if he were to kill Winona but frame Raylan and Raylan to clear his name and he was, after all, a one-armed man. Oh, no, wait a second. That's season 11 when we get desperate.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's basically saying the way he sees it, he's out of the picture.
Okay.
But they deliberately left it a little vague so that they could bring him back if needed.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, like they did with Dickie this season, you know? I think he had a lot to this season, so if we see a rogue quarrel somewhere next season, I wouldn't be disappointed.
Right.
Yeah, and then Raylan here finds out that it was Arlo who killed Tom. Kind of surprised by that. Kind of surprised.
Were you really?
No, Raylan was, definitely.
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay.
So they wake up Arlo at home and arrest him for the murder of Tom. We find out that he planted that Raylan planted the gun that killed Gary on Quarles when he was arresting him after he had his arm chopped off. And he talks to Boyd, who tells him that Arlo is family. We get a little.
Now, there's a lot of like really kind of, we kind of breezed over some of this stuff, but there's a lot of clever things there. So like we've been talking about how Raylan has that murder weapon.
Yeah.
What a bad idea that was. And apparently he's been rolling around with that in his glove box this whole time.
He must have had it on him, yeah.
And then slipped in his back. But I thought it was kind of clever because, again, they set up Raylan's whole speech about my mom says you should always return things.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I'll get it back to you when he's talking to Duffy. It's like, I'll return it one of these days. And then when Quarles was disarming him, he's like, I'm gonna want that piece back.
Yeah.
But then when he took the second one, he's like, you can keep that one. I just thought that was like Tim is playing that gun, right? So cool.
Yeah.
And also it's like we skipped a lot of good stuff. Like
we did.
When Quarles, you know, went out with the gun,
yeah.
Tim's reaction to that, or Raylan's reaction is like, oh, that's cute. I mean this man, you pulling a gun on his face is like blowing a dandelion at a normal man. It just
it's
is
like, yeah, that's there.
Yeah, it's like if yeah, I hate it's kind of like reminds me of Jules from Pulp Fiction. It's like, I don't want to disappoint you, but it's not the first time a person stuck a gun in my face. I mean, how many times do you think Raylan's had a gun?
Oh,
a loaded gun.
Probably at least 20 that we've seen.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Someone points a gun is loaded. Someone points a gun at you, your face. That's a pants shitting experience, right?
Yeah, it's fucking horrifying.
Right. If their trigger's on the finger, it's like 5 pounds of pressure and you're dead.
If the hammer's back,
yeah,
it's like you drop a paperclip on that thing,
yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah, like someone startles the man and you could die. And Raylan just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and I don't know if that speaks to Raylan's satisfaction with his life. I don't think it does. I think he's pretty content.
Do you think he's just, I got ice water through his veins? Do you think that's mentally that he's really happy? Because it seems like sometimes, in retrospect, the stuff does affect him.
Well, you're right. You're right, it does. But I feel like he also has a kind of when it's my time sort of idea. You know? Which I think helps him both. It helps him in his job, certainly.
Well, certainly shitting your pants is not going to help you.
No, that doesn't do anything good.
So maybe that's the thing. He's just like, well, you can give up and, like, you know, hit your knees and beg for your life, or you can keep thinking and fighting and trying to figure out an angle to win.
Yeah.
And that's where the percentages lie.
Yeah.
What did you think about the execution of the arm chop?
The execution of it?
And
I thought it was great.
And we had Chekhov's cleaver. And Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
Both established in the first scene, or the first episode. They've been on a collision course all season long. How do you think that did, because we speculated, it's like, how's this weapon going to fail him? Is it going to jam? Is it going to do this?
Yeah.
Is it going to do that?
Oh, it paid off way better than I could have hoped.
I thought that was super clever.
Yeah, because the weapon didn't jam. The weapon worked perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that when you don't have an arm to attach it to, it doesn't work as well. When you can't control the fingers on the end of the stump,
yeah,
Yeah.
And when Poirot's like sees his hand.
Yeah, yeah, he reaches for it. And he's like trying to grab it.
Yeah, and Raylan's like, gives him this weird look and kind of like, yeah, no, you can't have it back. I'm keeping your hand.
It's a little morbid to laugh about somebody getting their arm chopped off, but man, that scene was good.
Well, and I guess the way they originally blocked it, he was going to cut his arm off, he's going to just fall to the floor. Coral's going to see it and reach for it, and Raylan's going to do the thing where you know, like if someone tries to go for a gun, you step on it. And I'm like, oh, I wish they'd done that because that'd have been even funnier. But which do you like the keep away, or do you like the I'm stepping on your hand so you don't take your gun back?
No, I like to keep away. I like how they did it.
All right.
I was thoroughly impressed with this scene on all counts. I thought the standoff that they came to was freaking awesome because you're right, Limehouse will be dead, but nobody's walking out of there alive if Limehouse is dead.
A lot of people were confused about Errol. He just got banished from Noble Holler. Why'd he come back? Why? I thought it was pretty clear.
I assumed it was to take a shot at Limehouse, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, they showed, as Errol was leaving in his truck out of Noble Holler, the minivan with both Quarles and Raylan, and like, right. Raylan and him made eye contact.
Yeah.
And I think the way I took it, I didn't see anything discussion of this, which is weird. So no one asked Yost about this. I took that as Errol's like, well, this can't be good. And he has enough affection for Limehouse, enough affection for Noble Holler, and selfishly probably think, if I can get the drop on these guys and save the old man, I might get back in his good graces.
He wants to come home, just like Quarles
he
does.
He wants to come. Yeah, he just wants to go home. So I think that's where he came from. Yeah, he just got banished. But
I think you're right. Yeah.
He had all those reasons to come back and try to save the day.
Yeah, and it almost seemed like, now thinking about it in that light, like Raylan knew, because Raylan gives a smile, this weird smile at the end when they pass. Like he knows that Errol can't just go.
I don't think he knew that Errol's on the outs at that point. He was just maybe trying to like, hey,
yeah,
you know, like
just hey,
get the boys on the phone. All those, you know, all your AK-47 toting guys, get you know, descend upon the slaughterhouse.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, let's move on.
Yes.
Arlo admits to killing Tom and Devil in the police station there. What did you think about this twist where he covers for Boyd about Devil?
Well, Boyd, the knives are really twisted in Raylan because Boyd says, you know, this is all about family.
Yep.
Talking about his goddamn father.
Yep.
And then his father takes the rap for, because all Raylan has wanted to do is get Boyd in prison for 3 seasons now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's always stymied at every turn in the road. And sometimes they have an uneasy alliance. But I think that was, it just felt like a series of Raylan getting kicked.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Absolutely.
Battered.
Yeah. And all kicks from his father.
Mm-hmm.
If this were Mad Men, I would compare him to Pauline's father.
Boyd was piling on, too. That whole, you know, this is
okay,
about
family. Okay,
yeah,
the family part, yeah, definitely. But then the actions that were taken with Arlo covering about Devil, you're right. The fact that Raylan wants Boyd in prison, and he's told him as much, you're either going to be in prison or you're going to be dead before I'm done with you. And there he's got him. He's got him on a murder. They've got the body. They've got everything. And then his own father covers for Boyd.
I'm very interested in see where. But on the other hand, you know, I almost think that maybe this is Boyd, because Boyd seemed very bothered earlier in the season when Raylan stopped by and he's like, you're here to check on your old man, because your old man has got his ass kicked at Noble Holler and he's got some medication problems. And Raylan's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
That disturbed Boyd.
Yeah.
Like, it's your dad, you know, that's your daddy. So maybe this is him tweaking, like, I've been the son to him that you weren't.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt a little bit of that in there.
So at first I thought maybe it's just being cruel, but maybe he's making a point about family that Raylan's forgotten. Now, honestly, this is the second time Raylan's old man has tried to kill him or sell him to someone that wanted to kill him. So fuck that, but
if there's ever a point to be made Boyd's going to make it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Boyd loves making a point.
He does.
He loves it.
Loves getting the church outfit on.
The final scene of this episode is Raylan kind of doing a voiceover there at the end. I thought it was just going to be a voiceover.
I did, too.
And then outro on the
Space
episode.
Space to Final Frontier.
But then they go to Winona's home where he's explaining to her what happened and why Arlo shot Tom there at the very end.
Very classy.
How do you feel about the episode going out on not really a plot note, but a, kind of an emotional note with Raylan?
Again, I liked it.
But yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but I felt like
it's
the whole season...
It's not as strong as a... Not a like, oh my God, I need a couple minutes to process this as Mags Bailey.
Yeah.
On the other hand, very strong. And it...
It was.
Really changed very quickly how I felt about the episode. I was really thinking not that it made me feel better or worse about it, but it just really made it kind of brought me down emotionally.
It made it more meaningful to me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel like there was much in the way of meaning to this season because it's really just
it was a grudge match,
you know, between Quarles and Boyd and Raylan.
Right.
Okay, fine. That's all cool. Like, I had fun while on that ride, but then when you hit me at the very end... With that shot of family, that shot of emotional connection there, that really spoke to me, and it made the season as a whole really feel better. And this is something that they had dropped kind of halfway through the season.
Yes.
You know, like, he was done with his father. Mm-hmm. He didn't want anything to do with him halfway through. And then they've kind of been building him getting more crazy. And then to have that kind of half-season arc come back at the very end felt... satisfying for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree.
All right. Well, that's the episode. Do you have
also,
any other things?
Yeah,
you want to
the
talk
other
about?
Thing we kind of skipped over is the scene in the kitchen between our Boyd and Ava when they were realizing that this was it. Boyd was going to get arrested. He's going to the big house for murder. I thought. Even as recently as last episode, I didn't know exactly how they felt about each other. Because it's like, I'm like, Boyd seems to be incapable of being sincere.
Wow. Okay.
And I felt like this scene was just so good between those two that I really finally I felt that when he said, they know that I won't, I just can't run away because they know I'm going to come back for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're my Achilles heel. That was, you know, as touching as Boyd's ever going to get, probably.
Yeah.
Very well acted between the two.
And now we know that all the stuff with the bullet holes from, I don't know how many episodes ago, where they're comparing gunshot wounds, that was all real. That was not some ploy, some Johnny-esque ploy to cause any harm.
Really interesting where they might go next season. I've got some notes. About where he's wanting to accomplish with season four. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's not spoilers because none of it. It's just kind of like thematically, structurally what he's wanting to do. He says, we're kicking the idea around that instead of doing one big story for the season, we do three chunks, like 3-4 episode arcs. But we may not do that. I do not know that we've got Raylan and Winona, or I do know that we have Raylan and Winona and the baby. That's something that can be addressed at some point, whether it happens off camera or on camera. The baby's going to be born. And I can pretty much guarantee they'll be during season four. We've also got Raylan with a very pretty girl he slept with, at least once, who owns the bar, Lindsay. By the way, she is the bar owner, by word of God now.
There you go.
She can shoulder a gun. That's always good. That may be something to explore. They're great together. I don't agree, but whatever.
Yeah, me either.
As always, I say it, and then I start to feel like Lucy with Charlie Brown in the football. But I'd love to spend more time with both Tim Gutterson and Rachel Brooks, the black marshal, white marshal.
That wouldn't be bad.
They did
since
flesh
we're still
Tim
calling
out.
Them black marshal, white marshal.
I feel like Tim's earned a name because he had significant. He had a nice little 3-episode arc there with Raylan.
Rachel did some ball kicking. Does that count for anything?
Yeah, she did, and she had a very strong scene with Limehouse. And if they can get 2 or 3 more of those for both of them a season, it's not much.
I feel like they're the characters that we're not meant to care about until several seasons have passed.
Right. He says, at this point, we're maybe roughly halfway through the life of the series. Just in really pie in the sky thinking, we've started to imagine how the series would end and what we'd be looking for the final season or seasons. So all that's going to factor in terms of relationships. And then in Harlan, we might reduce the amount of time that Raylan goes down there next season. But meanwhile, be giving a big chunk of the show time to the antics and exploits of Boyd and Ava Crowder. Are they going to get married? I don't know. I do know that my goal is that they quickly become king and queen of Harlan. I just have this idea of them getting a house on the hill, that sort of a big thing in the community like that. So also the question about Johnny and Limehouse is certainly something meaty to play with. So we had a lot of stuff there. Yeah. The idea that maybe Raylan's going to be spending some more time in Lexington, but we kind of have some cuts to Boyd and Ava playing around in Harlan. Mm-hmm. The fact that Limehouse and Johnny is an open thread. He wants to get the Marshals. I think it's super interesting that they would do four episode arcs. With maybe one that they give a little one an extra episode that's kind of like the climax. Because...
yeah.
I sometimes think that was a weakness of this quarrels, that
it went too long.
Yeah, because I felt like it almost ran out of gas here at the end. Like imagine if this had been a very tightly plotted 5-episode arc, mm-hmm. his introduction, his development, his kind of like the scheme falling apart, and his descent and manhunt.
Yeah,
that would have been a hell of a 5-episode arc, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And don't have to jump back and forth between all this stuff. Just stay on that story. Like Monster of the Week, only it's Monster of the Month or Mobster of the Month, you know?
Yeah, I really don't know how. I've never really seen a kind of 3-arc season.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see how that goes.
Because I finished reading Raylan a couple weeks ago. That's the newest crime novel by Elmore Leonard.
Yeah.
And that's the way its book was structured. It had basically the Black Pike storyline from season 2, another unrelated story about a teenage poker hustler. And then I forget what the other plot was. It was the organ stealing thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a nice little book, and they're kind of self-contained. It's like, I think that could work as a season.
Was that with Dickie in the books? Or was that someone else that they were doing it with?
It was someone else.
Okay.
Yeah. They didn't have the Dewey and, like, you know, go get your money back, all that kind of stuff. Dewey is in the books, but in another role in the Black Pike saga.
I'm going to have to read those books.
You should, because I'm
interested to see how they differ from the show.
It's like a funhouse mirror of season 2 and 3 with a bonus story thrown in. Because, like, the plot's the same, but they changed, like, the characters and a lot of the dialogue. They changed who said the dialogue and at what point that happened. But it's still a really, really, really fun read.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the inspiration for the TV show, I'd hope so. I've got nothing else. That was the end of the episode. Do we have any feedback this week?
We actually have an unusually... large amount of feedback.
That's the finale for you.
We'll start off with Sean. He says, you were wondering about Banks Boyd. The Bank of Boyd. You're wondering about Boyd's bank robbery modus operandi in the 312 Coalition podcast. This was mentioned in a pilot episode, Fire in the Hole. About 10 minutes in, Art and Raylan are in a bar going over Boyd's criminal background. Art says, they come in a town like Somerset and they blow up a car, and then when the cops are busy, they go rob a bank. Later in the same episode, Boyd and Devil are sitting in a truck outside of the bank as an explosion goes off in the distance. Fire trucks and cops go speeding by toward the large plume of smoke. So that's something that they've
foreshadowing.
Laid down. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. They definitely do that well in this show.
Yep. Sandy said, I thought this finale was fantastic. A nice combo of action and poignant character drama, especially that final scene with Rayland. Mm-hmm. A punch to the gut. I also like the transition between the last two scenes from the Marshal's office to Winona's. At first, we hear Raylan talking as if it's a Dexter-like voiceover, only to realize it's him talking to Winona. But for a minute, it's as if he's talking to the audience, which is not the way the show works. So it jumped out at me and made Raylan seem so vulnerable and seem so intimate.
Yeah.
As for the action, I was so tickled by Raylan calling Quarles' little gun cute while not even flinching like the coolest cucumber in town. That's sort of how I felt about Quarles by the end of the season. He started out so creepy and intense that by the end he just seemed comical as he spiraled out of control and lost all credibility. Whether he's dead or not, Tonin could still be a player in season 4 because he was willing to play with Win Duffy, whether Duffy produced Quarles dead or alive. Anyway, I'm glad none of the main characters died because I love them all, and they're just enough loose threads to start season four with a bang. And she included a gif of one of the most darkly comic scenes in the whole series, an animated gif of Raylan pulling Quarrel's arm just out of his reach. Yeah. The other thing, did we forget to mention the Quarrel's maniacal laughter about the piggy bank?
Oh, yeah, we did.
He's like, oh, shit, it's a piggy bank. I love that whole performance, man.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I need to make that a ringtone.
Oh, shit, it's a piggy bank.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to make that like the text notifier when you text message me. Oh,
Do it. Shit,
it's a piggy bank. Whitney wrote in, that was a wonderful finale, and I want your opinion on something.
Oh.
Are you ready to give it?
I was born ready.
Do you guys think it would be too corny if next season Justified had more voiceover endings?
Like for individual episodes?
What about if they...
I don't know. They've still never done one. This wasn't one.
I think that there's enough positive reaction to when people thought it was that they could get away with it. What do you think? I think it would be cool.
I do, too.
If they do,
shocks me, but it'd be cool.
If they do the mini arcs, like at the conclusion of each arc, if Raylan did a little kind of like case file style voiceover.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It could get cheesy, depending on how they handle it.
I thought that talking with Winona at the end and revealing the intent of his father was so touching. It'd be a great way to continue with her character and keep the actress. It humanizes Raylan, and it could keep the time really well. Also, note about that is I guess the character who plays Winona, she has a pilot, and she's under contract, and they only get her for 3 episodes next season. It's kind of like a Dewey Crow thing.
Yeah.
So
her kidneys are going to be out. She's going to be running around town with a gun trying to get $50,000.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the other thing about, I forgot a little tidbit, that the scene where Raylan is talking to Art at the end and they're talking about his father confessing and Raylan looks like kind of like very sick and Art's like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
Timothy, who's running 103-degree fever that day.
Oh, well,
that's the only
that.
Scene he did. And the rapper Tone Z, who does the rap for the Justified thing, he was supposed to fly into town to have a scene with Earl. No, not Earl. Errol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And because Tim was sick and they had this complete due to shifting, he arrived a day late and got screwed out of a scene.
Dope.
Yeah. Anyway, she continues. She thought that speech humanized Raylan, and we were able to fast forward to the release of Boyd, and it gets Art sentiments, but not a long speech. I kind of love it. What do you guys think? So we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
She thanked us for doing the podcast. She can't wait to season 4 of Justified. So,
me either.
She says, I don't really watch the other shows, but I think I will check in on those podcasts just to hear the banter.
Oh, man, you'd be so lost. Our recaps are not thorough enough to actually keep track of the story.
Especially Mad Men. Game of Thrones you can maybe jump in on.
I don't know. I think it'd be difficult on any show, man.
What about Walking
Dead? If you don't have...
Walking Dead has no plot.
That's true.
Here's the plot.
If you want to hear a guy,
I gotta find my family. I found my family. My family's annoying as fuck. We found this farm. We leave this farm. There. Boom.
Yeah.
Everyone is infected. Boom. You just got every...
Seasons 1 and 2 right there.
There. I just recapped it in like... That's fuck the Apocalypse edition.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
That was the Rickified Aaron edition.
I guess you could do that. I just worry that you won't want to watch these excellent shows after
you
do that.
Yeah, look. We've got Whitney. Here's the deal. We've got all the episodes of The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones recapped.
Mm-hmm.
They're just sitting there waiting for you. Pick which one you think might be your favorite. Start listening. You can listen to all of our, all the stuff in step.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unlike Breaking Bad, where we just jumped in on season 4. Season 4. And
yeah.
It was like, started making hay. So, moving on. Shep, he said, so you guys drink Shine during Justified and booze it up for Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you'll be in the Crystal Meth while Breaking Bad comes back? I hope not, although that would certainly make for some interesting casting.
I don't know that it would. It'd just be 25 minutes of you scratching your beard.
And you'd be screaming, Aaron! Aaron!
That should have been our April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
The Tucker cast.
There's lots. I hope you like lots of sound effects of us digging.
None of the people listening get this joke except for Shep.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's hilarious if you do. What can we drink, though?
I was thinking I would drink some wine because Walt loves his wine. Oh. Or possibly coffee.
Coffee? Yes. Man's coffee.
Yeah, we record these a little late for me to be drinking coffee at like 10:30.
Maybe when you take the last sip, you're like, okay, the coffee's run out. The podcast is over. This means something.
How do you measure the time of your podcast? One cup of coffee.
Or thermos, maybe.
Or drink decaf, right?
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. All right.
Brian Pittsburgh says, hey guys, after initially being very disappointed following my first viewing of Slaughterhouse, I have turned a corner after a second viewing, and now I'm only slightly disappointed.
Okay.
My original viewing, just like in our podcast, our original viewing was hindered by my anticipation for an epic scene to close the season like in season two, and after watching a second time, I now appreciate the episode more, but still feel disappointed. I think 312 was the better episode. Maybe not better, but certainly more surprising. And I guess I was expecting this episode to be a topper episode rather than a complimentary piece. I really like the Slaughterhouse scene, especially when Quarles reached for a severed arm only to have Raylan pull it away, essentially saying, this ain't yours no more. Piggybait comment might have been the funniest line all season.
Yep.
Either that or Raylan saying to other guys at the office where he said he disarmed Quarles.
Yeah.
I don't like how Quarles took the family hostage. It seemed a little too cliche for a cop show. And like most cop shows, the arc was resolved with someone being disarmed. Ba-doom-tsh.
Nice.
Also, good call on fingering cousin Johnny as the Benedict Arnold. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that will be a major plot point of the early part of season four. Mm-hmm. I always thought Johnny seemed a little bitter to the Crowders since Boyd first asked him to join his crew. Don't know where else they can go season four, which makes me excited, but brings me to mind my slight disappointment. I really wanted this episode to be like season three finale for Breaking Bad. Yeah, that's a good point.
They wanted
a cliffhanger.
Two.
A cliffhanger, right?
Okay.
Justified is yet to do a cliffhanger.
They haven't done a cliffhanger, but they hit such a high note with season two as far as plot goes. Just like, oh man, this lady killed herself. And then out, done.
All right.
But with this one, they hit you emotionally, and I liked it.
What if Raylan walks out of Winona's house, and out of the darkness steps Quarles.
One-armed Quarles.
With a chainsaw on his arm. And he puts it to Winona's throat and says, revenge will be mine. That would have been cool.
No. Jumping shark material.
Regards to still a great episode and a good wrap-up for a stellar season. Overall, on a scale of 1 to 10, with season 4 of either The Wire or Breaking Bad being a perfect 10, I would give this season a solid 8.5, with season 2 getting an 8.0. I just thought this is a better season overall from start to finish. More villains is definitely a better formula for this show, and I hope they continue on that path. Totally agree. I think that's a very fair way of putting it. I might give it a 9, but it's certainly not as good as season 4 or even 3 of The Wire or Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I think the talent of these writers and producers, directors, the whole team working on Justified is weaving those intricate plot details together. That is what has really captivated me this season that I don't see in other television shows.
Hmm. Fair point. So Godspeed, gentlemen. And P.S. Blue Yonder cast about PAX East?
No.
Nah. I'm still doing two podcasts a week. If you want to go, the guys we shacked up with, the crew out of the personal arrogance crew, pa.baldmove.com, they actually did an episode and they talked about everything we did, like all the board games we played and how much fun we had. So if you want to give those assholes from Seattle a try, they recapped it pretty good for us. Moving on, some quick takes on Facebook. David Jacob said, overall, I was disappointed. It didn't feel epic in any way after a great season of Quarles, his weakest performance. Kidnapping the kids felt kind of lame. Everyone else just seemed tired or something. Only one, well, Tim was running 103-degree fever, apparently. Only one who really tore it up was Ava. Ava. Best moment? The piggy bank. That was good. Diamond Router said, damn, no one could have guessed what the hell was going to happen in this episode. Agreed. No one saw the disarming coming.
No one saw Arlo.
I mean, that they got. I think if you get over what you were expecting and you see what they delivered, who called it? Did anyone fucking call it?
Yeah.
So it was entertaining.
I was going to say with that last kind of negative review there, I see why people didn't like it if they didn't like it.
Yes.
Because it was not what we were expecting at all. So I'm not going to shit all over people who didn't like this.
Oh, hell no.
I think that's a perfectly valid opinion.
Ed K says, well, Chekhov's cleaver did make a return. Now, Yost said we won't hear Brad Paisley over the credits, and we know why. Was that because we had to watch Zombieland and UFC previews instead? What the fuck? Yeah. I guess that's proof that Quarles didn't die. Because else, if Quarles bled out, like, I thought we... Yeah. I believed that until I read the interviews. I even said that. I'm like, what the hell? Why was there no... You'll never leave Harlan alive. Because, shit, people died.
Yeah, Tom died. Quarles, well, we thought, died.
Right. Quarles would have been a perfect one, too. Because the carpetbagger whole thing. You'll never leave Harlan alive. Eddie says, all the bad guys lived. I would have liked to have seen a big showdown, but still quite the disarming episode to end the great season. You wouldn't happen to have an ibuprofen, would you? Priceless. Spinoff idea. Raylan chases Jesse after he kills Walter in a very public way. Think about it, bitch.
I'm all for it.
Oh, that would be a fucking awesome spinoff. Totally.
I think better yet, they should team up to go after Walt. Can you see Raylan try to work with Jesse?
With Boyd, too?
Oh, no.
It's like Charlie's Angels, only more badass and masculine.
Yeah.
Sean Meredith says, unlikely that Quarles could have survived the blood loss from being disarmed, and doubtful that anyone present would have applied a tourniquet to stop the bleeding. I agree, but it looks like that, believability or not, Yost is keeping him in his little stockpile of villains going forward.
All right.
James Forrest said, this didn't feel like a season finale, more like an episode in the middle of the season. Something crazy had to happen, hence the Quarles arm getting chopped off scene, but overall this episode felt too mechanical and not well thought out. We had no, he criticized, like me, no emotional connection to the random family introduced, which was held hostage.
Yeah.
So we didn't care what Quarles did to them. Quick question. Did you think when he took two young boys as a hostage that that was going to come up?
The what was going to come up?
His dealing with young boys.
Oh, no.
I think that his is very situational. It's a male prostitutes.
Yeah, yeah.
That
definitely
trip him off, not just necessarily any young boy. He said Quarles pointing a gun at Winona's unborn baby. That would have been something that had the caliber of emotional drama that you should see in season finales. Agreed.
Yeah.
Eric said, the man with the hat revelation was really well done. When Arlo first mentions it at Boyd's bar, it seems like a minor point, but at the end, the memory hits hard. Somehow Quarles' death wasn't as epic as we would have liked. The piggy bank makes a nice visual, but seriously, how does that work long term? Wouldn't Limehouse have to move the money to a fresher carcass every few weeks?
Yeah.
And does someone get to stuff the wads of cash down one by one down the dead pig's throat, up its ass? It seems time-consuming and a hard thing to keep secret. It was very cool, but yeah, I was thinking that too.
I just assumed the Limehouse did it all of himself.
Really? That's why he's in the slaughterhouse all the time?
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, if you smoke cure that, doesn't it, like, pretty much stay forever?
Not forever, but for a long time, yeah. Mm.
It's not like you'd be having to swap that out every week or so.
True.
I like it how the more lovingly Limehouse describes how he's preparing something, the bigger a can of whoop-ass he's about to open by the time he finishes.
What?
That's the Arl. He was talking about the pig's tongue, the Arl, the Arl. Keep on saying Arl. And it's like the more elaborate he is about describing something, the more pain you're in for.
Huh. Okay.
Limehouse brought a cleaver to a gunfight and won. It's the manliest version of rock, paper, and scissors ever.
Okay. What was the paper there? Was that Raylan with no gun?
Yeah, probably.
Raylan with a gun on an arm.
It's rock. It's cleaver, gun, Marshall.
Cleaver gun hat.
Cleaver gun hat. There you go. I'm imagining the fun Quarles could have with prosthetics. That would be pretty freaking sweet.
Oh, man.
A bionic arm or like a minigun or something like that. Mm-hmm. Eddie says, Quarles is not dead. This is how they're going to tie in the Detroit mob for next season. And no one mentioned that Limehouse betrayed Boyd via Johnny. A good call, by the way, Aaron. Setting up a war between them, giving the Detroit mob the opportunity to side in and take over the Oxy trade. Raylan has now even more of a reason to dislike Boyd because of the Arlo situation. The fuse is lit for next season, and I love that's cute line Raylan said about Quarles' sleeve gun. Kimberly says she was disappointed that Raylan wasn't the one to do the deed to Quarles. Boyd's line seemed a little too dramatic and overacted when he's talking to Ava at the house. I guess that's what finally sold me on their relationship. So
yeah,
I had a whole different take on that. Loved Ava as a badass. Sorry to say, though, that her calves look huge in those boots. Are we accusing Ava of having cankles, Kimberly?
I always like girls with boots. I think it's pretty awesome.
I gotta go back and see that now.
All right.
To go check it out. Give my fashion review. finally, or penultimately, Josh said, I agree that it didn't seem like enough of an end, but I think it does give us more to look forward to. Instead of a nice, neat package and end where you know the next season will be the next big story arc, we actually have something to tie us in. I, for one, loved it. Mm. Great pace, writing, and cinematography, especially after the letdown of what could have been a cool Crowder's 11 app.
Crowder's
like
11,
Ocean's like 11, Crowder's 11. Mm-hmm. That would be fucking cool.
Trying to get into the bank and take the money.
I have one last email. It's kind of long. How are we doing on time?
Since we don't have a spoiler section, we're good.
Okay. So it's Ted.
Yeah.
Who's been sending us misses from Harlan County all season long, mm-hmm. and he saved the best for last. His grandfather had his 81st birthday this weekend.
Whoa, congratulations.
He sat down to talk to him, and since this was all fresh on his mind, this is the same grandfather he talked about running for county clerk, and he worked as a dispatcher for the Kentucky State Police in Harland. So they started talking about bootlegging, and he asked if he knew Mags Bailey, a question that he'd never really brought up before. Huh. So he proceeded to tell me about going with the state police on searches after warrants were issued and coming across an extremely large amount of $1 bills and a few half pints of moonshine. He said parenthetically, warnings and hiding places kept the rest safe. He said that when he opened the drawer up and said, well, Mags, who do you think this belongs to? She told my grandfather and the other officers that it belonged to her brother, who was a Holcomb. He apparently always took the blame to keep Mag out of trouble. Let's see. He said that he mentioned at least two Harlan judges and a couple of lawyers of whom received the Mag Bailey Collegiate Scholarship in exchange for protection when they graduated and began practicing law. He explained how Mags...
Wow.
He's got this interview. He sent us an audio file of it, too, because he got his recorder out and recorded him.
We'll have to paste that at the end of this.
Yeah. He said... it's a weird Apple format. You're going to have to help me with that.
Okay.
He explained how the deal with the sheriffs worked as well, with a squad car in front of and behind the car bringing in a shipment of booze and perhaps parking a cruiser near the establishment to aid in prohibiting bright-eyed robbers seeking to gain access to untraceable cash flows. So, sure, booze had a police escort and police protection.
Wow.
Badass.
Wow.
All in all, he says, she was a real sweet woman.
I bet she was. She seemed like it.
He tells about counting more than $100,000 of Mag's cash before marshals confiscated it from the KSP and a trooper hiding in an outbuilding and watching Mag sneak in one of her hiding spots before cussing out the trooper. He also talks a little bit about her benevolence. He says, we hope you enjoy it, and here's the high hopes that this season's finale is as memorable as Mag's exit was last season. He sent us to us just before.
Yeah.
So, whether it's already in the glass or already up the sleeve, it's sure to be a slaughterhouse. So,
well, I don't know if we're doing another one of these episodes, but I do want to thank Ted for all that information and all of our listeners for supporting us through this podcast.
Also, Ed K for hooking us up with Taylor Elmore, who we're going to try to get the back signal out and get a retrospective and look ahead. It probably won't be a real long one, but...
and it may not be on our usual schedule. So.
Yeah, it's just going to be however we can get, because we're kind of at the mercy of his schedule. But if we can get one, we'll have a nice little 30-40 minute discussion with him, hopefully. And as always, we'll make sure we let you guys know on Facebook and Twitter, so you can send in your questions for him, the man.
Want to just go straight into the outro?
I think if you'd like to give us feedback about this or any of our podcasts, you can do so with justified@baldmove.com. Really, if you send any of our emails, we all get
them. They all go to the same place, yeah.
So a lot of people, I think, have clued onto that.
And this week, you might want to highlight our other podcast, since this one is going off the air for another year.
Nah, I don't have to do anything like that. What do you mean highlight?
I mean, tell people that, look, we do these podcasts.
Oh.
So if you're interested in these shows.
If you're sad and you're bummed out about the end of Justified, again, we have complete coverage. Season one, the current season of Game of Thrones, Walking Dead. We have complete coverage of season four of the Breaking Bad, which is a fantastic show. Mm-hmm. And what am I missing? Oh, Mad Men. We just started Mad Men season five. So if you're a big fan of Mad Men, we also cover that. But if you're not, probably too late to jump in now. Get on Netflix, start watching.
Start watching from the beginning, because you will not understand it.
Yeah. So all that stuff you can find at our website, baldmove.com. If you'd like to keep up with us on Facebook, we got lots of fan participation. It's getting bigger and bigger every day. Facebook.com/baldmove. I man that with Mad Brew's help. Jim holds down Twitter @baldmove. Mm-hmm. we both really appreciate, if you haven't already given us iTunes reviews and subscriptions, because we've become, we're the number one Justified podcast on the internet now.
And there are two, so that's saying a lot.
There's three.
Are there? Okay.
Fucking Buzz Network.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
But we've slaughtered all those people with your guys' help.
I don't think again, we've slaughtered anybody.
Now, David Chin's cast is really good.
We may have taken an arm off, but nobody's dead yet.
A tourniquet has been applied.
Yeah.
But again, we thank you so much, because that's all you guys. You know,
yeah.
We can't review, you know, we can't give us that many reviews. Just I only have like three email accounts. Jim's got like two.
Yeah.
So we only get to five. That's not enough. It's all you people.
Definitely. Definitely.
So, also the other way you can really help support us besides telling your friend, you know, cause there's 5 million people who watch Justified.
You're implying that they only have one friend. That's not nice.
Tell multiple friends and family members and coworkers, Justified. There's 5 million people watching the show. Not that many people listen to the cast. We've got room to improve.
Just a bit, yeah.
The final way that, you know, we appreciate everyone that does, but if you're shopping on Amazon anyway, please remember to use the amazon.baldmove.com link, or you can actually go to baldmove.com, and Jim's got a nifty new banner that you click on. What that does is it sets your affiliate tag to us, and anything that you order in that session, we get a tiny cut of Amazon's cut. It's not an extra charge. It's not extra shipping or any kind of like, I want a dollar to go to Bald Move. It's just, we get to keep a little bit of the money that Amazon is going to keep anyway.
Yeah. And if you want to complain to me about the banner, I had people complaining they couldn't find the link. So that's why I put up the banner.
It's tasteful.
I hope so. I try to make it as small as possible.
It's blindingly yellow, right?
It is.
Like international orange.
It's Amazon colors.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why.
Yeah.
So we appreciate everyone that's helped us, because we've basically been able to run this revenue neutral.
Yeah.
And that's nice, because else we'd be out hundreds of dollars on bandwidth.
And a lot of hours a week, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
we're definitely not getting paid cha-ching for this.
But it's nice that we're not going in the hole.
Exactly.
And again, it's you people doing that for us. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Super appreciated.
Anytime we get a positive review or we get a little cha-ching from Amazon, it makes us feel good. So thank you very much. It's been a fun season. I'm so glad everybody clued us into the show. It was fun. I mean, it's been...
I wasn't even watching it before this season.
It's crazy when you think about, we crammed in both seasons and then got this, and we're doing four casts at a time. It's been fun.
It's been
tiring.
Yeah.
I want to go to bed now.
All right. Well, let's call this a cast.
Hopefully we'll see you in a week or two with a recap. If not, we'll see you next season.
Yeah. And as usual, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. See you next time.